In the Green Briar, you certainly did some magic yesterday evening. West crew heading home from a live broadcast in Galway City yesterday. Very well taken care of, I'll tell you. Green Briar and all more. Thanks, Bridie. It's been a lovely evening. All courtesy on Bridie. A super day. Speaking of Galway and being live there yesterday, starting tomorrow from 2 to 6. You're going to hear quite a bit of it, I'll tell you. A lot to say, and a lot of people to say hi to over the next week or so. For the moment, back to today, Sunday, Easter Sunday. Here's Aslan.
This is the soul of a broken lover. Good morning. How are you?
By the way, happy birthday.
Why? Oh, the Anorex program.
2 years old.
2 years old today. Yes. Mm. Sounds a bit like that, all right. I've been at it a long time now. Started off in the old heydays with Phil Hilton. And I'm sure this Caddy Fox that rang in with all that information. I think I'll take this thing off. They always say it's going pup on me, so that'll knock the pups out of it. Been around a lot this week. Heard a lot of stations and heard a lot of stories and monologues or analogues and monologues and all that sort of stuff. Probably the big news of the week, in a way, is that there's a lot of stations thinking of closing, and there is a couple of stations actually closing. And you have the revival of Radio Carousel back on the air on all three frequencies, 1386, 12, not 24, 12 something. And he has another one. He's also off on 99 or thereabouts. I think he's a transmitter on there, we are led to believe, this morning. And he's back full steam ahead. So I wonder, is he doing the same as Class in Dublin, where he's renting out the station per hour or whatever the case might be? We wonder. And it's the time of the year when the going gets tough, that this here now for the next month or so is a fairly lean period in advertising, in business in general, whether you have a sweet shop or you're going advertising, whatever the case might be, or selling advertising. It is a fairly lean time of the year that there's not a lot of money being spent now because, well, people are kind of back to work on a serious note. They're thinking of their summer holidays and they're trying to save a few bob, that's what they have to, because there's a good few bob that have been gone since Christmas. One thing, personally, I am delighted about, and that is that March is over. It's 1 month. In actual fact, I hate the thoughts of March every year. Wet and windy March.
Yeah.
And as well as that, now with the extra hour, it means that no matter what frequency you're on in the band, as far as medium wave is concerned, it doesn't matter a hoot, because you transmit there the very same as night. By the way, I'm sure you're noticing this morning, in actual fact, I'd like a few phone calls about this, because it's annoying me or bugging me or whatever the case might be. And that is, I reckon we're only putting out about maybe 1-2 kilowatts on medium wave at the moment. That's on 702
well, on
kilohertz.
That point now, we've just had a call from Limerick.
Yeah.
Listening in now at the moment.
Yeah, well, I've been listening since we went back from 10 kilowatts to 2 kilowatts because our generator went mad again during the week. Our engine went again. That's the third time our engine went in 3 weeks over faulty safety devices and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And faulty water pump. Every time water got out of the engine, for some unknown reason, I think there's fairies out there, and the engine seized up. And it's a big six-cylinder Perkins engine. And it costs about £1,000 a time to do it. Along with giving people a lot of pains, you know where, to try and get them up, the engine is gone again. Will you come up and do it? Work all night, etc. So, as it turned out, the water pump that's needed for it this time is a very special one. And we won't be able to get that probably until Monday or Tuesday, because all our normal sources ain't got them. They've got thousands of water pumps, but they don't have the one we want. So that leaves us running on a higher generator, which is only a tiny little thing. Our FM is on, and our medium wave is on very, very low power at the moment. And yes, listening yesterday and the day before, and even the other night, since we went on low power, there was calls coming in from Roscommon and from Kilkenny and Carlow and all around the place. What they were listening to us on, I don't know. I don't think it was FM. It had to be medium wave, especially down the Roscommon area. So I wonder, when you lower power, does it go out further? That's what was bugging me at the moment. So if there's anybody listening out there in fringe reception area that would normally listening to this program on a Sunday, perhaps they might give me a ring after the program or maybe even during it and let me know, just as can you notice the lowering of power at the moment. Right, we were down in Galway yesterday doing our first outside broadcast in Galway City, and by all accounts and reaction and that sort of thing, we were very, very happy with ourselves indeed. We were in Galway Shopping Centre, and some people tell us the first time ever a radio station broadcast from there.
Well, it's the first time, yeah.
That the other shopping centres have been done by Coast in the last week or the week before, which we actually had dinner with the boss man there, the two boss men actually, and names are escaping the mind because It's a little bit kind of polluted this morning with all sorts of fumes and everything else. We didn't get back from Galway until about 5 o'clock this morning. And I have to say hello to Bridie in the Green Briar. Put up a fantastic meal for us last night, and the drinks, in actual fact, were quite nice as well. So if you're listening in this morning, Bridie, the hardest working woman in the west of Ireland, there's no doubt about that. We also say hello to Mrs. Nestor, who was more than nice to us yesterday. Didn't really get a chance to have a good talk with the lady while she was down at her outside broadcast, but that happens too. And our medium wave in Galway, just when we're on talking about ourselves, is almost, it's about an hour away from going on. There's an awful lot of work to be done with it, because the time the storm brought down our aerial, it turned our shed upside down, the way all our transmitters in, and the medium wave was out in the rain for a couple of days. So you can imagine the amount of corrosion and all that sort of stuff that set in the meantime. So we have it almost. We had it on actually yesterday evening for a couple of minutes, and there's a few bits of tidying ups and wires to be put here, there, and every place. So hopefully on Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, you should hear us loud and clear on 711 kilohertz in around the Galway area. It'll be interesting to get some reports on that. Let's see how far she's getting out, or whatever the case. We also have news on the Loch Ray station, which is Galway District Radio. It's been sort of on and off the air. It's running through a very mean patch, the same as everybody else, including ourselves, as far as advertising is concerned. Rumours talking to some people to say the station is closing down, to say it's not going that well, to say this, that and the other. The boss man there, I don't know if he's listening in or not this morning. All I can say to him is that we went through the same thing, rigmarole ourselves, when we started off, so stick in there and stay at it. There's also rumour that the station Ballinasloe, who is off the air at the moment, talking to some people that said they reckon he might be closed down for good, or he's going off the air, whatever the case may be, because we're led to believe the man is on holidays, according to some of our friends in Ballinasloe. Mm-hmm. And while he went on holidays, he closed down the radio station. So what about it? So that leaves a whole new scene in the radio scene that I warned all these people before not to start radio stations, that they would spend an awful lot of money and they'd lose an awful lot of money. And the people just went ahead and done it. And now they realise that being on the air and having a good sound and having a good signal and having maybe reasonably good staff, that's not a radio station. A radio station is, at the end of the day, is how can you sell it, and how many ads do you have, and how much money is the station making?
A lot think it's instant money.
A lot, yeah, well, I warned all those people, and there they are now, and the people that they're talking about this closing down. And seriously, money is hard got, it's hard earned, and there could be an awful lot richer men if they hadn't involved themselves. There's also rumour from the west of Ireland, talking to a few of my mates down there. Keith York had very, very little news for me, but he said he'd give me a ring in the coming weeks with plenty of news. The only bit of news he had for me was that ERI fired all their sales staff. He heard, it's rumoured again, because they were working for ERI and they were also working for the Cork television station or whatever it is that's down there, Cork Communications. And after all, if you are paying people to do a job, they don't go around and do work for somebody else as well. So there was a massive blow-up there, and all the salesmen were just let go, and for good reason as well, may I say so. So ERI and Cork, to our knowledge, are looking for sales reps. Anybody down the Cork area interested in repping for ERI? I'm sure if you contact those people and you have the right qualifications, there's a job sitting there for you. What else have we got? As I said last Sunday, the station is closing down in Longford, and the other radio station, I think, is sort of in trouble down there as well, the FM station. I think, in actual fact, we announced last week he was off the airwaves. On the other hand, we're talking about people closing down all over the place. We hear that KISS FM on 1008 kilohertz and 103.7, I think it is, FM, their medium wave signal, which is, I always say this, John Reardon's old transmitter. It's a 5 kilowatt. What make it is, I don't know, but it came directly in from the States. It's on, and obviously it's on full whack with new aerials, new towers up and everything else, right?
It's actually been logged here now.
In Mullingar. Well, I was just going to say that it's practically non-existent. And a few people who were starting to around the area yesterday said it was very, very weak in Cavan and up around there. Now, that can't be. If it's in Monaghan, it can't be weak in Cavan on 5 kilowatts. I tried to get it actually during the week because they're on full power this last 2 weeks. It's practically non-existent. Now, I know Midway Radio operates on 999 kilohertz, which is right beside it. And obviously you're going to get a bit of splatter, but there's not even a trace of it. With 5 kilowatts kind of up the road, it should be walloping in here the same way as we're walloping in up there. And that's, I'm surely a disappointment. I'd also like to know how their signal in actual fact is getting into Derry, and or into Derry, I don't think it went to Derry, into Belfast, where they hope to pull most of their advertising revenue from. It would be interesting to see what the amount of money that's been spent on buying Yagis and everything else. I'm talking about 10, 20, 30,000 pounds worth on aerials, not on transmitters, on aerials alone. With a fantastic sight, I don't think it'll whip Belfast. It'll be all right driving around in your car, but I'd say stop and go to a hi-fi store and try and tune him in. I'd say he'd be non-existent.
Right.
FM is very, very hard to penetrate a town. You need it in the town. If it's only 2 watts in the town, you can pump tens of kilowatts into the town, but if you have 2 watts in the town, it's stronger than anything that could come in. And that's the way we took the bull by the nose. We put in a load of small transmitters rather than put in big heavy ones. Hopefully it's working for us, by the way. What else have we got to say there? Yes, they're on the airwaves, and I can see a blitz coming up in the Monaghan area very, very shortly, because don't forget that in Monaghan, basically, you have Ironside on one side, Cavan in the middle, Breffni on the other side, Monaghan in the middle again, and you have Kits FM. And then you have this new breed of station, which, with all this money being spent on equipment, with the fantastic sound, etc., 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 coming in the sort of middle again. The only thing about them is they're solely a pop station. It's a type of Nova or Q all over again. And it's new to that area up there. And we all know that all the stations up there, even Big M, even though they play a fair amount of pop music, they play quite a lot of country as well. So it'll be interesting to see what a sole pop station does up there. I feel that definitely will have some sort of impact on the advertising revenue being taken by these other stations. So I'd say in about 4 months down the road, I will be announcing here some Sunday that one of those stations aforementioned will, in actual fact, be closing down because of lack of financial finance coming into the station. We also hear great reports about Breffni Radio, John Reardon. Yes, massive signal going out altogether. And I was in Maynooth, in actual fact, the other day. Yesterday, the day before, and checked him in, and lo and behold, he is very, very strong up there. I will say that he's probably 10 times stronger than he was in 1170. However, the funny thing about it is that his signal is very, very weak in Mullingar, and actually a few other people commented on that as well, that would be Breffni listeners or listening to the country music during the day. What else was I going to say? It's also rumoured, talking to, I think, somebody who worked on the station, or is working on the station, said that he is going putting sales reps into Northern Ireland. And that's a thing that John Reardon, in actual fact, never had the power to do, was to get a signal into Northern Ireland to pull ads out of it, because it is a very rewarding, and the sterling with the difference in the punt and the pound is well worth chasing. So we wish John all the best of luck there.
Young man listening to Breffni down in Kilkenny at the moment.
What?
Young man listening to Breffni in Kilkenny at the moment.
How did he ring us?
He said it's rather weak, but he has it exactly. I never told him that. Now, who would you ring us? Radio West in one speaker and Kilkenny and Breffni in the other one.
Well, anyway, good morning to you, sir, down in Kilkenny.
Not only that, going back to the point about our own 765, and you're saying the power, you're running on 102. It's mapped up today in Clonus at the moment.
What?
Clonus today on the far side of Manhattan. Owen Smith rang and he said
yeah,
it's coming in clear enough.
Well, it's coming in as clear as it was in 10 kilowatts. That's
no,
what I want to know.
That's the problem.
Ah, yeah.
But today, Galway today, Gary from Galway, I have to say, it's coming in crystal in Galway today.
Ah, yeah, but she's listening on FM.
No, he's listening on 702.
Oh, I wonder. Aye.
Yeah.
In actual fact, it was quite good down. Even the other night when I was driving down and just 10:30, 11 o'clock, it was dark. I had the whole way to Loughrea and I said, God almighty,
yeah,
you know, I should be gone this side of Athlone. Mm. And I wasn't. What were we talking about? We were talking about stations in the Monaghan area. Yes, we'd moved slightly off there. But, Breffni Radio. You're breaking me trade of thought here this morning.
That's not
We've about 15 minutes left in the programme. If you'd like to join in, sir, if you have any news for us, by all means, give us a shout. Anything whatsoever. 41694, Woody is there, waiting to take your calls, without a doubt. And if you have any news for us, that's Anorak News on radio stations in general around Ireland. We'd be glad to announce it here. That's what the programme is all about. Mm. Is there 15 minutes by your clock?
There is indeed.
I'm in a hurry this morning, you know. I can't wait for this 15 minutes to come up. Right, that's the situation on Breffni. And with the guy, we also hear, I mean, little notes here I have, that Ironside, who operate on 12, I think 24 or 12:34 or thereabouts, their FM transmitter, which proved quite successful while they were off the air for a couple of weeks on medium wave, it proved definitely a seller, that they're now being hammered from all angles on FM, especially, it says, around the Virginia area, which is not too far away from them at all, by somebody on 98.1. Who is it? Boyneside? Yes, I think it's Boyneside on 98.1. Causing splatter on 97.9. It's the same problem that, in actual fact, that we suffer with Q now on 99.9, especially when you get up around the Kells area or kind of run in line with Dublin Mountain. We're on 100.1 and you have the splatter across. It looks like that maybe we'll be moving. Just getting back to us again, we're moving site in Dublin. That's why we're still not back in the airwaves. We still haven't solved the problem with our transmitter. It's been on nearly since, and nothing has gone wrong with it. And we put it back up in the site, and it goes intermittent. So there's obviously fairies on Dublin Mountain someplace around the area. What else have we? Very, very, very little. I'm going to get my thoughts together, and Willie is going to spin a record, aren't you, Willie? Yes. He's on the phone. What else have we got? No news from CCR and Cavan. No news whatsoever. We hear a little bit of news from Carlo. Everybody's still working away down there very, very hard. New transmitter, I think, on 99 or 99.1. Moved to a new site. That's the Carlo radio station. Moved to a higher hill. Reports are coming in that the signal is definitely much, much stronger from our little friends down there. No news from Kilkenny today. The Renegade station, as I call them down there, which is a breakaway from KCR in Kilkenny. Were to ring us there a couple of weeks ago with plenty of news for us. No phone calls from them whatsoever. So we wonder, are they mad alive down there, or what in actual fact is going on? We also have a report in here this week. We're just talking about stations closing down. And we've mentioned about six so far. There's also a very, very strong rumour that Hits 954 in Limerick should have closed down last week, but the station is just staying open for another few days, hoping to get financial backing. So we'll just have to wait and see what the situation is.
There was Hits there now a minute ago.
Sorry?
We had Hits there a second ago on the phone.
Kits?
No, 954.
Hits 954?
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, at
yeah,
Limerick. Now.
Yeah, no, they're staying on.
Ah.
Yes.
I just got him before you.
Another one. He's the one.
I just said that.
Yeah, they're actually staying open.
See, I've bits and scraps written down here, and I get it hard to read them at this stage.
See, but they're staying open, and they have potential
backing.
Take over back.
Okay, take a record. We'll be back to you in a minute.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Actually, we take an ad.
In this week's Sunday World, Neighbours, it's a series all Ireland is talking about. This week, Eddie Riley reporting live from Melbourne interviews Heartswabs Kylie Minogue and Peter O'Brien. Sunday World, the Whelan Family School of Ballroom Dancing. It's been clipping the light fantastic for nearly 70 years and is still going strong. An exclusive report. Sunday World, the Rat Pack of Sinatra, Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. They're back on the road. Jack Russell reports on the legendary reunion tour. Sunday World, the beautiful topless actress who is now a niece of a Nancy Butcher. Mitchell and McCormack meets her Easter bunnies. Find out if you are one. Sunday World, Easter just wouldn't be Easter without it. Sunday World.
Ladies ladies and gentlemen, the Greenbrier Moy Villa Oranmore in County Galway, a very special venue for that special occasion. For your wedding, birthday party, or a relaxing evening out, dine in our luxurious restaurant from our set luncheon menu or evening a la carte. Contact Bridie for further information. Telephone 091-44221. The Greenbrier Moy Villa Oranmore in County Galway.
Raymond Daly Butchers, the Square Kilcormac County Offaly, have opened a new branch at Main Street, Burr, County Offaly. Best quality beef, lamb, pork and bacon, all at the keenest prices. Home-cured ham, a speciality. Deep-free specialists, that's Raymond Daly Butchers. Dial 0509-205-08. That's 0509-205-08. Now is open Monday to Saturday, 9 till 6, Easter Sunday and Monday, 2 till 6. The Model Garden Center, Horsley Moat, County Westmeath.
Has been 20 years, and he thinks no one left out nobody, and litter up the gutter, puts it in a bag, and never thinks to mutter, and he packs his lunch in his sunless bag, the children call him boo, he never lets on, but I know, cause he once told me, he let me know a secret, about the money in his kit, he's gonna buy a dinghy, to call her,
again. I reckon that every radio station and every person must be listening to us this morning in north of Mullingar. Definitely, I'll say north of Mullingar for starters. I had a call there from Belfast. I had a call from Portadown. And I just had to get the call there from Cavan. Tom Higgins was the last man. I just can't remember his name. Got a lot of news from the point of view that the Mid-Ulster area, which was the man that rang me from Portadown, said that definitely the most popular station in the north of Ireland, in Mid-Ulster, he said, at the moment, is definitely Z103. And he went on to tell me a few examples of how popular they were and how their programming went, etc., etc., etc. And obviously they are. It's a station, actually, I mentioned on the airwaves last Sunday. I said I never hear anything of these people. Another station, actually, I got a little bit of news on this morning, was Telstar in Dundalk. Telstar is a station which people lead me now to believe that everybody in Dundalk is listening to Telstar. And with the funerals that was going through last week, that on-the-spot reporters and everybody knew what was going on and all this sort of thing, that they really got their act together. They're a very professional station. They've been there a long time, and I think people are beginning to realise that, well, they're here a long time, they're good, they're consistent, and they're good programming, and we're going to listen to them, and that's it. Because there's a lot of people that are running in and out of Dundalk, and that have not been consistent or not stayed there and not been alive and well, and Telstar has always been there, so we wish the guys the best of luck. Perhaps if there's somebody working on the station is listening in today or whatever, they might give us a ring next Sunday and maybe give us a little bit of a rundown on the station, what exactly they're up to. Our caller from Belfast tells us that on two sides of Belfast you can get Z103, but he said by all accounts, he said definitely KISS is bombing into Belfast. Booming is the word he used. Booming and bombing into Belfast. I hope they don't bomb Belfast, but anyway, they're flying in. And also he tells me that KISS are getting calls from like 80, 200 miles away up in the north. Well, you wouldn't go 200 miles, you'd be out in the sea, but anyway, from very, very far afar. And the medium waves, I got a few calls from Scotland on 1008, but as I said, down here in the Midlands, we're very, very weak. But I often remember talking about this Magna line, which runs from Drogheda across, I think, to Sligo. It's a line that runs across the country, and it's a fault. The BBC discovered it there a few years ago. They've done a programme, actually, on it, where if you cross this line, we say you're coming from north to south, your signal, medium wave signal, will drop by about 50%, and if you're going the other way, the same thing happens as well. Our good man in Portadown also tells us that our signal, we're coming in there 6 out of 7 on his little meter, and he said that's the same as any other Sunday, and I'm beginning really to scratch my head and say our running costs run about £600 a week to run our medium wave transmitter. And the way we're running at the moment, in actual fact, it's costs about £50 a week. So if you take £50 a week with £600 a week, I have a saving of £550 this week. What I'm going to do with it, I don't know. But if everybody can get my signal as strong, the staff here are pointing out to me that they need a rise. If the signal is that strong, I have a good mind to leave it there and cut my losses, to be honest with you. However, we haven't fully researched the whole situation as yet. Right, Weekly Report had a read of it during the week, and not a lot of news. It's a quiet time of the year. There's very little happening. I reckon there's more going to happen than is happening at the moment.
Speaking of the report and looking at it...
Yes?
There's a gentleman on earlier on. Anyway.
We have a minute.
He wants to know...
Yes.
...about this new Radio Nova service that was mentioned in that last week. Now, can you tell
New Radio Nova service?
From England now. Can you tell me and tell him...
That's a satellite station.
Is there such a thing? How can they relay that satellite?
No. What I think they're on about here is... things have quietened down considerably in Dublin following the all-excitement of Soldier 103 and the quite normal of... and all seems quite normal at Q102. That's the Dublin situation... Yes. He's here, he's saying he heard nothing on Q102. Obviously, Barry is not a fan of Q102, but anyway, we'll leave it at that. County Monaghan, he has news in County Monaghan, County Loud. It was mentioned on the free radio show on Radio West, I didn't see this morning, the Carousel have closed down their Dundalk operation. Apparently, no programmes can be heard, although the transmitters are reported to be still alive. Radio Carousel in Navan continues as before, unaffected by occurrences in Dundalk. A quick check Sunday afternoon at 12:60 is either the blank carrier, the carrier strong enough to silence the ILR on the same channel and could possibly be the old 1125 Carousel transmitter. Further investigation is called for. Problems still seem to be beset the Kells radio at Boyneside on 1332. The station has been on and off the air for some time, although it was noted back in the week. But terribly distorted at times. It seems that the operation may have changed. The signal is definitely not as good as it was. Further bad news from this area now, where you just learned that only minutes before printing this issue that Hits 54 will officially close down on Saturday next. The owner tells us that. No, I heard that's actually in Limerick. Anyway, there it is. Or in Galway. County Cork South Coast Radio 98 and the music leader Weekender. He is Bill Davis and the first class presenter. Already arrived. The lineup remains the same this past 10 days or so, although the popular breakfast jack, Jim Lockhart, is expected back in the air tomorrow. There will be only a newsreader at present, Joe O'Reilly, and there is no news service all during the night, at least up till close down. And news is a thing, in actual fact, listening to Q during the week, one morning, when Scott Williams was on. And definitely, I've said it here in the air, what the way they've dropped our news and everything else, but seriously, the news service that was offered there, and hearing Scott Williams reading the news at 9 o'clock, it seemed a bit funny. Now, what else have you got there?
We're practically finished.
Yes, we are.
We're running
finished.
Over as it is.
Yes.
I just have a few.
We're getting great guns now. We can fly.
Two phone numbers. Hits, no matter about being on the air and being off the air, they're still selling studio and transmitters. So I don't know if they got through.
They're still for sale, even though they haven't closed them.
Stuff. They're selling bits and pieces.
Now, why hit 0614254 and they couldn't make it? I cannot understand that.
And actually, there's another call about hits there. Seemingly, they had a bit of a run-in with their advertisers. We won't mention much about that. But Caroline 558, shortwave, are picked up in Ballinasloe at the moment. 4210. That's if whatever that is. Radio Fax in England are looking for a license. 6220 in the shortwave band. They wanted it on the shortwave.
Yeah.
Okay. And what else? We have another phone number here. Young gentleman wants an FM transmitter, 091-22176.
That's our friend in Galway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And John from Dundalk tells us that Carousel are off.
No.
They're only on in Navan.
Ah, so they're on, they're off, and they're off again. No, we got reports this morning that we're back on normal programming running in Dundalk. So now John tells us that thing. John, I know you're listening in. Perhaps you might get somebody from Telstar to give us a ring. We'd love to have somebody to talk to us from there. And also, I'd like to say thanks very much to that gentleman, especially in Portadown. He was a hive of information, and I'd love him to give us a ring some Sunday if he can pluck up the courage and we'll put him live in the air.
Right.
Okay?
No, is that it?
Right, I'm gone. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We'll see you all next Sunday. Good
radio.
Good radio in the meantime. Why not? Okay. Bye.
It's 31 after 11. We're running over. We've landing for you next, and then CLT from midday till 3. Until tomorrow at 2. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Ballymahon Mart, every Thursday. Renowned centre for top quality beef, store bullocks and heifers, weanlings and calves, also sheep and lambs. Best prices in the Midlands. Extensive leerage before and after sales. Heavy cattle may be booked in advance of sale. Prompt payment guaranteed. Farmers, factory owners and northern buyers in attendance each week. Dial 0902 32327. Farmers, tractor dealers, agricultural suppliers. John Connaughty, Cross Achill, Kells, County Meath, has the largest supply of second-hand tractor spares in Ireland. If it's tractor spares at a fraction of the price, dial this number, 046-41178. John Connaughty, Tractor Spares, Cross Achill, Kells, County Meath. Dial 046-41178.
SBF Limited, for all your steel shot blasting and priming requirements. We give a 48-hour turnaround. SBF, the shot blasting specialist in Dublin. Phone 513311. That's 513311.
Yeah, there's nothing like a walk in the country when politics is getting you down.
But should we still have the grassroots all over?
The grassroots is right. Do you see that fine lush green field here, chap? That's a field of green acres, grass seed from Williams Waller.
By God, that farmer must be a cut above the other.
Right, because he knows that Williams Waller are the experts on grass seeds.
Green acres.
Way ahead of you, boy.
Welcome to the Easter edition of Landlink. Now, on the show this week, we have an expert on agricultural education and training. His name is Peter McAlee. I'll be talking about the growing of spring oilseed rape. And Fergus will be dealing with meal feeding of calves and probiotics. I'm interested in that because I'm not too clear exactly what probiotics are. And as well as that, we have our usual program reports, progress reports on crops and livestock. First of all, let's talk about the crops. Winter wheat at the moment, it's growing nicely, especially where a bit of nitrogen was got on early before the weather broke. We have no great disease problems at the moment, nothing worth talking about. There is a little bit of mildew hanging around in a few spots, but it's not moving at all. Weeds are becoming a problem where a pre-emerge wasn't applied, and they'd want to be looked after fairly quickly now because the growth stages are coming up in the winter wheat fairly quickly. It's up near the first node in the Midlands and possibly at the first node further south. Winter barley is definitely at the first node stage now, right here in the Midlands. We have Rhynchosporium spread throughout crops at a low level, and it's on the lower leaves, but we're not going to worry about it because the crop will surely grow away from it. The one slight worry maybe with winter barley is that on a lot of crops, the nitrogen hasn't been got on before the weather broke, and crops are now looking a bit the worse for wear. But I don't think we should worry too much about it. As soon as the weather dries up, hopefully it will be in a week or so that we'll be able to travel out, and you're still time enough for most of the nitrogen. Indeed, I wouldn't be inclined to put on the full whack of nitrogen when it gets to this late stage. Leave out the first little split and go with the second split, as it were. Again, weeds would want to be controlled into winter barley as soon as possible because it is getting to an advanced growth stage. Now, how are the spring crops doing? Well, we've practically no sowings done yet, especially here in the Midlands. We had a little bit of spring wheat sown in the south, not an awful lot. There's practically no spring barley gone in at all. And it looks as if we may have to wait another week before we will get in spring barley. But that leaves us into, say, the first week in April, and we're still in plenty of time. Malting barley, as we said last week, get it in by roughly around the 15th of April. After that, I think you should be thinking of switching to feed barley. Now, Fergus, how is the cattle trade doing?
Well, for the first week, John, we can say that the beef trade is better. It's up to about 110, maybe 111 pence a pound for quality. Now, why is this? Well, I suppose the big one is the scarcity of quality cattle, or even the scarcity of cattle at all. And the British trade has improved. Whether it's just an Easter improvement or not, we can't say. But there is an improvement in England in both hind and four-quarter beef. Factory prices are, as I said, for steers about 108 to 110, 111. Heifer prices 107, 109, and cow prices at 90 pence a pound.
Well, those prices are much the same as last week's, are they?
About a penny or two up on the steers. Heifer's not much of a change.
Will the factory prices follow the mark prices a wee bit in getting a little bit of a lift?
I mean, stores are still very, very expensive in relation to beef cattle. The other thing, I suppose, that's interesting and most probably reflects both sides of the intervention in the sense of that it's not as attractive as it used to be, but for the first 3 months, or roughly 3 months, up to the middle of March, 6,000 tonnes less beef was put into intervention, and it seems the whole trend there is away from intervention.
Yes, there seem to be, I think as you mentioned here a few weeks ago, they seem to be getting the balance reasonably right now in the intervention. The stocks in intervention are going down a bit. There's not as much going into intervention also.
Yeah, as I said there a couple of weeks ago, by 1990 it looks like intervention would be finished and gone.
Well, it might be a good thing, would it?
I suppose it depends on the producer, but yes, I think we should be able to sell our produce instead of putting it into cold store.
Yes, it's not right to be depending on that kind of an artificial market to keep a floor
at the time,
in the market.
One time it seemed okay because it was only supposed to work when there was no place to sell the meat, but it became the only place to sell it for quite a number of years. Or it was the most lucrative place to sell it.
Now, the sheep trade.
The sheep trade is still good, especially on the Hoggart side. It's about 135 pence a pound. The Easter trade lamb is dropping and dropping rapidly. 160 is the top, and they're talking about that, well, even as you go up towards Easter this week, and some of the listeners that will listen to this on Sunday, it'll be over. The price most probably will be back to 150 pence a pound. So it's a dropping market.
Now, can I just switch you slightly from that? Our friend Franz Andreessen, I hope I've got it right, has made proposals for the coming year for agriculture. Could you just give us a little outline of what he has proposed?
Well, he put his proposals in front of the Council of Ministers back last week, and it looks like that a lot of these proposals could be enacted in some way. They are pretty severe, and, well, I suppose just take three or four of the main points. A price freeze on all beef and sheep meat has been put forward. I think you're suffering the same in cereals, but I'm talking about the cattle and sheep. Now, that's, and there's been no green currency either adjustment except for Greece. So we were looking for a green currency adjustment. They are worth about 80 million. Whether we get some of it or none of it, there'll be a lot of debates have to go through in Brussels for that. Secondly, is again, intervention is to be changed even further than what it was. That's fairly complicated, but it's just, if you like to call it, making it harder to put meat into intervention. Then, as on from December the 31st next, that's when the new beef regime comes into being. Beyond that date, the Commission does not intend to have the variable premium in England continuing or have a calf premium. So, like the calf premium, that's worth £7 or £8, could disappear. And but the suckler cow premium and the premium for young male animals looks like they will stay. And the last one is that, and some, I suppose, winter finishers of cattle might be sort of delighted to hear this, and some summer graziers may not. It looks like there could be changes in the future in APS, which is it's the private storage which comes in each autumn. It looks like there could be some changes in that as well.
So generally the trend is towards less support of the market system.
Yes,
would that be right?
Yeah, the gravy train has ran out of juice, if you like to call it, and I think each product will have to stand on its own feet.
So if you didn't get your bowl of gravy before now, you may be too late now.
Well, there'll be a little left there.
Very good, thank you. Now, we mentioned at the beginning of the programme this word probiotics, and I hear it being advertised here and there. Fergus, what exactly are probiotics?
Well, to put it in the simplest form as possible, John, they are something that contain beneficial producing bacteria. They're usually acid producing bacteria. And the idea is that you implant this acid producing bacteria in the gut, and that will lead to a reduction in E. coli. Young stock, if you like to call it.
How exactly does that work? Does it change the working of the
innards? It is, yes. To put it into simple, they go into the gut and they multiply and they colonize, and you get the best bacteria in there, not the worst, do you understand me? They also change the pH of the gut because it's slightly very acidic, so it keeps that very stable. And the other thing is that they establish a good microflora in the stomach. So there's a few complicated things in there, but what they're doing is trying to produce the best media in the rumen.
Well, do we know yet how long those microbes are going to last there? Are they going to just continue to propagate themselves, or are they going to? Yeah. Are you going to have to give a dose every so often?
Well, it depends on your own management, really, you know. But once you give them a dose, they should be, once the calf is young enough, and you're talking about young stock now, if you're taking a young calf, the idea of it is that it should last on, and by the time the calf is old enough, it should be able to do its own work.
What are the benefits of this?
Well, the idea of it is that it reduces stress in the animal if she did get an infection of E. coli, and this keeps it going right. The general state of the health of the animal is kept better, and you're supposed to have an improved digestion. And why you could have that is that some of these probiotics contain vitamins and minerals as well, so if the animal is lacking in any of them, she may be getting them in a better form.
Now, when should you use these probiotics, and on what kind of animal?
You're talking about mostly young animals, let's be straight about it. You'll be using them at birth. Also, before and after transport, if you were moving young stock to Mars, you should give it to them before they go there, and the man should give it to them again after they go there, because due to what they may have picked up in transport or at the mart. And another time which a calf can be suffering feral stress or something like that is at dehorning time. So they're about the three main places.
So it's really they're really useful where you want to give the animal a bit of a boost and lift it out of a bit of stress or a bit of trouble.
This is the commercialism of them, yes. There's no doubt about it that they have some role to play like that.
Well, now, are they really necessary?
Now, this is where the difficult part comes into them, John, and they are being sold and well commercially sold. If you're a very, very good manager, I don't see any real need for probiotics because your management has already given the right environment, the right food, and the health of the calf for the whatever it may be should be okay. If you're very poor in your management, nothing substitutes for management. So, I mean, you can't make a good manager just by using chemicals to overcome his shortcomings. I'd put it to you this way. If your calves suffer from a slight check due to something happening at night, then or over a period, then I would say probiotics have a place.
Well, are they going to make a bad manager into a good manager?
I'd love to have a chemical that would do that.
Like the man who's making a mess of things will continue to make a mess of things in spite of probiotics. He shouldn't look on them. The guy who's in trouble, say, with his management, shouldn't look on probiotics as taking him out of trouble.
Very rarely can you buy your way out of trouble.
Now, how are these things sold? What cost are they and what way do they come?
They come as a powder, as a liquid or a gel, you know, depending on the manufacturer. It works out about approximately about 85p to 120 pence per dose that you would give an animal. And they're sold by different crowds, I suppose, just to name a few of them for you, John. You have Probigest by Bayer, you have Gainlack by Waterford Co-op, and you have Carnivet by May and Baker. So you have three crowds out there pushing them fairly heavily, and they have a place, but not all over the place.
So you say, in summing up, Fergus, would you say that they are just, they are useful in certain situations to the man who knows what he's about?
If you have an E. coli problem on your farm, you want to find out why you have it, and if you get if you're a very good manager and something is going wrong, maybe probiotics have a place there.
Grant Fergus, thank you on that. Before we come to the break, we have a few items for sale, and some people want a few items. There's a one-year-old sheepdog for sale, £100 our nearest offer. For that you can phone 0905 75182. That's after 5 p.m. A male sheepdog pups, 6 months old, starting to work, £20 each, our nearest offer. That's 0405 531 52. There's a pony, 13.2 hands high, reliable with children, £299, our nearest offer, 0405 531 52. Now, wanted, this could be a difficult one, one American bronze cock turkey, 0405 55068. Now, somebody wants hen budgies for breeding, and also they have turkeys for sale. That's 044 48837, after 6 p.m. Now, we have three geese and one gander for sale, including 40 eggs on the verge of hatching. Now, for all that, for the all-in package, £120 for the lot, 0405 53281. Now, we're coming up towards the halfway mark. We'll be taking a break in a few moments. When you come back to us in part two, we'll be talking about agricultural education. We'll be doing a little bit on spring oil seed rape and a little bit of meal feeding to calves. So we have quite a packed second half. Join us in a few moments after this break.
Farm relief services in counties Galway, Roscommon, Sligo and Leitrim are a farmer-owned cooperative organisation providing a wide range of skills and services for all farming enterprises. We can provide operators on a once-off or regular basis, covering all farm services from fencing to forestry. Inquire about our accident and sickness schemes. Contact Patricia Davis, Farm Relief Services, Athenry, County Galway on 091 44551, or for the other counties, Redmond O'Dowd on 079 62781. Brochure on all services available on request. The numbers again are 091 44551 or 079 62781.
Tool hire and sales, College Street, Mullingar. Suppliers to the building, agricultural and public service sector. Everything from lawnmowers to forklifts, from dumpers to dinky lifts. Tool hire have complete backup and repair service from their fully equipped workshop with radio controlled vehicles to ensure rapid delivery and collection anywhere. Inquire about their special rates for long-term hire. Tool hire and sales, College Street, Mullingar. Dial 044 40725. That's 044-40725.
Farmers, save yourselves time and trouble searching for farm requirements. Williams Waller branches are all over the Midlands at Banagher, Birr, Boriscane, Mullingar, Rathangan, Rosgrey and Tullamore. Anything you require for your farm is as near as your local Williams Waller branch and also at our associate company, MP O'Brien Agriculture Limited, at Eden Derry and Trim. Williams Waller Limited, farm suppliers to the greater Midlands area.
Welcome back to part two of Landlink. Now, it will come into the time of year when students in secondary schools and so on are wondering what on earth they're going to do to earn a living. Are they going to get a job? Are they going to, well, in our case, are they going to go back on the family farm or so on? In studio, we have Peter McNamee, who is expert in the agricultural education and training fields. And we're going to ask him just a few questions just to outline what is available in agricultural education, who should apply for it and things like that. Peter, you're welcome. Could I first ask you, who should apply for agricultural education?
Well, John, every young farmer's son or daughter out there that's going to go back farming in the future should apply for agricultural education. Basically because in the farming of today and in the future, unless a young person has been adequately trained in the skills and technology of today's farming, he won't have much hope of being a successful farmer.
So it's really vital that they have a good agricultural training of some kind or other.
It's absolutely vital. In fact, any young person who's interested in receiving an agricultural education actually has two options on what type of course they can undertake. First of all, they can undertake a year's course in an agricultural college, where they enter the college in October, and they'll go right through until the following June. And at the end of the year, they'll undertake an exam and they'll get their certificate in agriculture from the college at the end of that period.
No, that's a one-year course.
That's a one-year course.
Residential in an agricultural college.
Residential in an agricultural college, and multi-farm would be the local college here to Mullingar.
There are fees involved there, obviously.
That's right. The fees involved for agricultural colleges right across the country are £1,250 per year to attend the college.
This is a standard charge regardless of what college the student goes to?
All colleges have the same fee with the exception of Gortin, which is somewhat dearer.
Now, there's some help, is there, towards those fees?
Yes. Up until last year, 1987, scholarships were available from ACOT to students entering agricultural colleges if their parents' income was below a certain figure. Last year, the figure was £10,000, which was the lowest it had been for some years. This year, there is no actual details available on the scholarships this year, but they will be issued in or around the 10th of May. And anyone interested in going to an agricultural college should apply to either ACOT or the agricultural college concerned, and they get full details of the scholarships and places available there.
So we can assume, say, that this, say, £10,000 income, that the cut-off point is going to be much the same.
We expect that the cut-off point to be a lot higher this year, maybe somewhere in the region of £15,000 or £17,000. It was too low last year.
So that allows a lot more people to avail of these grants and scholarships.
We expect that it will allow all those people who actually need the assistance of a scholarship to avail of them. While last year we were in the fortunate position that it practically debarred everybody because the income was set too low. The income level was set too low.
Yes, 10,000 was fairly low. Now, they're the agricultural colleges. There are also other, ACOT have a training scheme as well.
That's right. For those people who are unable to attend an agricultural college, either because they cannot be let go from home or because they need to go back home to work on the farms in the afternoon or whatever, those people can receive the same type of agricultural education at their local ACOT centre by attending there for a certain number of days each year. Now, the course in the local centres is structured in such a way as to provide formal teaching course for the first couple of months in the winter. Then in the springtime of the year, the student undertakes projects on the home farm. Later on in the year, to go on placement to a master farmer or a host farmer outside their own local district. And finally, then at the end of the course, you undertake a management module course that for farm planning and calculation.
Well, how long does that kind of a course take?
That course will take practically 3 years, because it's carried out on a part-time basis, generally during the winter time.
Well, are there fees payable for that course then?
No, there are no fees payable. In fact, the students attend that course don't have to pay any fee, and they receive their lunch when they come in each day at the local office. And the course is, for all intents and purposes, a free course.
Right.
It's easy funded.
So they actually get a bit of dinner out of it as well.
They do indeed.
keep their spirits up. What type of information are students going to get, or what kind of benefits are they going to get out of this?
Well, all students in agricultural colleges, and indeed on the searching and farming, undertaking the same basic syllabus on all the courses. The courses comprise of information on animal husbandry, nutrition, diseases, health, and all that area. Crop husbandry, farm buildings, technology, machinery maintenance, and farm management are more or less the general areas of the course, and all the courses and all the colleges in that are the same.
So it's practically covering every aspect of agriculture that they're likely to come across.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Now, just to emphasize once more, there's two ways of going, one to an agricultural college or one through the ACOT, the local ACOT centre. Both of them do the same course. Is this more or less the same course, except that the agricultural college does it in 1 year, whereas the ACOT one is part-time and it takes maybe 2.5 years?
That's correct. The courses are different in the respect that the agricultural college course, the student is residential there, and he undertakes classes in the morning, and in the afternoon he goes out on the farm in the college and carries out practical skills which he will need to know when he goes back to his own farm. While on the ACOT local centre courses, the student undertakes the classes again in the morning. In the afternoon, while he's attending the course, he goes out onto farms in the county and sees how the best farmers in the county are carrying out those tasks on his own farm. Now, there is a slight difference in that the students in the agricultural colleges have the advantage of being able to conduct animal skills and machinery skills on the facilities available in the college, while those facilities are not available to the student at the local ACOT centre. But nonetheless, the student at the local ACOT centre has the opportunity to put a lot of those skills into practice when he's on placement with the host farmer.
Yes, so that balances out really.
Yes.
Just, Peter, just two things that strike me. Is there any age limits for getting into the cert in farming and agricultural college? Is there a lower limit?
Yeah, well, students entering both courses should be 17 years of age in or around the 1st of October of the year of entry. Now, there's no upper limit, but they should be going on 17 years of age.
And do the same sort of criteria hold for a person that's interested in horticulture?
Exactly. The same position holds true for horticulture. There are colleges dealing with horticulture, like botanic gardens, Termafecan, and also Pilton College in County Kilkenny, all deal with horticulture course, specialise in that particular field, and the same age of students will apply there as well.
Peter, I think we'll leave it there for the moment, because time is pressing. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you, John.
Now, meal feeding of calves, of weaned calves, and so on. Fergus, how do we know how much meal to feed to a calf? What are the factors involved that we should be considering?
Well, there's quite a few things that will determine it, and especially this year, a lot of people, especially dairy farmers, have been feeding it a very high liquid diet to their calves to use up the milk, which they were unable to send to their processing place due to being over quota. But the first thing we have to think about is the size and weight of calf. The other one is, as I said just now, how much liquid diet they have been getting, how the rumen has developed while they were being fed, how palatable the meal is, and I suppose with the palatability would go what was the meal like, the physical nature of the meal itself.
Now, could I take you back to your first, you've named four or five things there, the size of the calf.
Yeah, the important thing there to think of is that a calf will eat about 2 kilos per 100 kilo of live weight in dry matter. So if you think of a 100 kilo calf, she'll eat about 2 kilos of meal if it has been getting them. The important thing is to introduce meal to calves early.
Now, that brings up the question maybe of the level of liquid diet you mentioned earlier, where a lot of milk, say, has been fed to use up.
Yeah, I'd just like to give an order warning there, John, is that they may be on 70 or 80 gallons of trying to get that much milk into calves. When the 1st of April comes up, they will be able to send their milk again because the quota year is over. Don't just drastically drop off meal because that calf will melt. So what I'm drop off milk at that stage. You know, introduce meals at that stage and gradually reduce the milk.
Would you start off, say, with a half kilo or
something like that? Yeah, if they haven't been giving some, you know, just a small amount, and make it sweet, even maybe put a bit of brown sugar or something on it, that would make the calf take the meals.
Well, now, this is all linked up with the development of the rumen, isn't it?
Yes, and that's sort of, you know, if you don't feed some roughage, the rumen doesn't develop. And you remember from college days about that, I'm sure, way back in zoology and stuff like that. But, like, I mean, you have to increase the rumen to increase its capacity. You have to get the tissues in the rumen developed. And you have to get what I was talking about earlier, was this microbes and all these working in the rumen. And the only things that will do that is meals and roughage.
So, like, is it dangerous, like, to continue feeding a high level of liquids?
It is. I mean, the only time you really, and years ago a lot of people will remember it, if you feed all liquids, you're really moving on towards a veal production, and you keep it up.
Now, the fourth thing you mentioned was the palatability of the meal.
Yes.
And the physical properties of it.
Yeah, I mean, a very dusty diet of a very ground-up meal is not very palatable to a calf. And a lot of people are talking about that just about rolled maize barley with a bit of soya is the best form of a diet for calves. And it rarely fails, but calves will eat that once it's not dusty. Even some people would say give some of it whole.
Hmm. Now, Fergus, can I just leave that there for the moment? Because I want to ask you about something you mentioned last week, grass tetany. You wanted to make a few points on that.
I do, yes. What I'm talking about is that it's going to be a very dangerous year in cattle. There's a lot of grass out there, and some in the south of Ireland have already gone out to grass. And I will say is watch out for grass tetany. And what I mean by that is that you put some calcine magnesite out or out in the pasture or into the meals. Now, if you're putting it out on the pasture, you need about 14 to 18 pounds of calcine magnesite per acre for a day's paddock. Also, if you're putting it into the feed, you need a pound to 3 pounds a day of meals going in with the right amount of calcite magnesite in it. You can have molasses with magnesite mixed in it. Or another way of doing it is put it into the water. But whichever you decide to do, I would advise farmers to be wary and get out and do it.
Now, is there any other way besides using calcite magnesite?
That's all. You could give a bolus of it into the stomach.
Right.
You know, which can work.
Fergus, we leave that there for the moment, and I think we'll have to leave the spring oilseed rape until next week. We're in plenty of time to sow it. We can sow it into mid-April, although preferably we'd like to see it sown a little bit earlier. But with the weather we've been having this last week or so, there's no hope of getting that in for quite a while. I just want to read out again the ads for sale. 1 year-old sheepdog, £100. That's 0905-75182 after 5 o'clock. Male sheepdog pups, 6 months old, they're starting to work. £20 each, our nearest offer. 0405-53152. And again, at the same number, there's a pony, 13.2 hands. Reliable with children, £299, our nearest offer. Now, somebody wants one American bronze cock turkey, you know, the old style turkey. That's at 0405-55068. Wanted hen budgies for breeding, also turkeys for sale. That's 044-48837 after 6 o'clock. 3 geese and 1 gander with 40 eggs on the verge of hatching. I hope they're being kept warm. £120 for the lot. And the phone number there, 0405-53281. Now, Fergus, just before we wrap up, any tips for the week?
The only tip I would say is avoid field cultivations at the moment, even spreading nitrogen or something. Wait until the weather is ideal.
And my own one for the week also is similar to that. Don't rush going onto the land. Wait until soil conditions are greatly improved. There's plenty of time to sow barley. There's no problem there. You're okay around the 15th of April for malting, and maybe up to the 25th of April or even the end of April for feed barley. But next week, we'll be talking about grass seed mixtures, and we'll definitely deal with the oilseed rape. That's all we have for you this week. Wishing you all a happy Easter and prosperous farming.
This week's Sunday World. Neighbours, it's a series all Ireland is talking about. This week, Eddie Riley reporting live from Melbourne interviews Hart Swabs, Kylie Minogue and Peter O'Brien. Sunday World, the Whelan Family School of Ballroom Dancing. It's been flipping the light fantastic for nearly 70 years and is still going strong. An exclusive report. Sunday World, the Rat Pack of Sinatra, Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. They're back on the road. Jack Russell reports on the legendary reunion tour. Sunday World, the beautiful topless actress who is now a niece of a Nancy Butcher. Mitchell and McCormack meets her Easter bunnies. Find out if you are one. Sunday World, Easter just wouldn't be Easter without it. Sunday World. Farm relief services in counties Galway, Roscommon, Sligo and Leitrim are a farmer-owned cooperative organisation providing a wide range of skills and services for all farming enterprises. We can provide operators on a once-off or regular basis, covering all farm services, from fencing to forestry. Inquire about our accident and sickness schemes. Contact Patricia Davis, Farm Relief Services, Athenry, County Galway, on 091-44551, or for the other counties, Redmond O'Dowd, on 079-62781. Brochure on all services available on request. The numbers again are 091-44551 or 079-62781.
Contact SBF Limited for all your shot blasting and priming requirements. We provide a 48-hour turnaround. Dial 01513311. SBF, the shot blasting specialist in Dublin. That number again for further information, 01513311.
Yeah, there's nothing like a walk in the country when politics is getting you down.
But we still have the grassroots, all right?
The grassroots is right. Do you see that fine lush green field here, Chair? That's a field of green acres, grass seed from Williams Waller.
By God, that farmer must be a cut above the other.
Right, because he knows that Williams Waller are the experts on grass seeds.
Green acres.
Way ahead of you, boy.
W-E.